This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk. Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
My name's Nicole and I'm from Brisbane in Australia. I was sick and tired of feeling sick and tired and had just begun yet another attempt at a non-drinking stint when I discovered the Over the Influence podcasts. The timing couldn't have been better. I binge listened to them all, joined the OTI community and have never looked back. If, like me, you've tried and tried to put down the plonk, but even after some success, keep finding yourself pulled back into the mire, join us in the OTI community, where we all share our stories of what works and what doesn't and where we're currently at. Everyone's just so full of understanding and inspiration. In a few weeks, I'll reach a whole year without a single drop, and I can't thank the OTI community enough. You guys rock and make all the difference in the booze-free world.
So if you want to join us, go to overtheinfluence.co.uk.
I'm getting excited.
Right.
But not as excited as Ben. We will get into that in just a sec. So welcome to Over the Influence. My name is Sharon Hartley. Do you get that? Hartley. Great name. Based in Lancashire in the northwest of England. If you are just maybe finding us for the first time and you are doing Dry January, you'll be about 3 weeks in-ish, thereabouts. Just keep going. Just keep going. At it. We decided to take a break from booze quite a while ago now. I think we've got nearly 7 years sobriety almost combined between myself and Ben. I get asked all the time, why did you do it? Why did you stop drinking? How bad did it get? How much did you drink? So in a nutshell, I drank too much, too quickly, too often. I got into my mid-40s, was drinking minimum bottle of wine a night, and I thought, this is getting boring. So I took a break from booze, and the rest, as they say, is history. It turns out alcohol-free life is an absolute ball. Sobriety is beautiful, and everything, absolutely everything, can change. I'm not doing this on my own. Now, normally it's me really giddy, and I am. I am really giddy every week about the podcast. I have never seen Ben react in the way he has to today's guest. Ben, hello. Are you okay, hon?
Yeah, no, it's all fine. I'm being cool, I'm being calm, and I'm being professional, Sharon, because we've got a guest on today that I am ridiculously excited about. But before we get to him, my name is Ben. I'm 34. I live in Liverpool. I am 2.5 years alcohol-free, and it was the best decision I ever made. I was a binge drinker, so I'd go out for a couple of pints, and it didn't take much to twist my arm and encourage me to have a couple more, and maybe a couple more on top of that. And you know what? I never meant to be sober. I gave up booze. I said I was going to do it for 3 months. And I planned to go back to drinking, exactly how I drank before. But I got to 3 months and I couldn't deny the benefits. I was feeling better, not just kind of looking better and all those things that, classic things that you talk about, better skin, better hair, dropped a bit of weight. I felt more confident within myself and I just felt happier and calmer than I'd ever been. So look, long story short, decided to go to 6 months, then 12, and now I'm 2.5 years alcohol free. And the reason that I'm so giddy is because our guest today was on the TV show of the year last year in 2022. Shaz, how many times have I talked about this TV show on the
podcast? You know what? Just a quick apology to our guest because it sounds so, you've bored me rigid, Ben. You've bored me rigid all the time. In fact, just have a sip of your drink now. What are you drinking?
I've talked about this TV show so much that someone in our Secret Santa got me a mug which says I'd rather be watching #maths, which is Married at First Sight UK. Our guest is Thomas Hartley. He was one of the stars of the show. Thomas,
no, Ben, personally, I was the star of the show.
Just a few miles down the road from me in Liverpool as well. Thomas, first of all, how are you? Welcome.
I am marvellous and I love that you love maths. And believe me, lose your shit if you want to lose your shit. I don't mind. But I love it. You go from a very normal life where, you're quite funny. And then you're getting stopped in the streets or people are looking at you and you sort of think, what are you looking at? And then you realise that you've been on telly and you're like, oh, yeah. So I like it.
Well, Sharon, I know that you've never watched any of the maths. series, not the UK ones, not Australia.
No, and that's not a choice. It's not a choice. It's just I don't watch much telly. I really, really don't. The last thing I watched was The Traitors, actually. And I did you watch it, Thomas?
Paul said it.
Oh my!
Who didn't watch it, Ben? You watched it.
I haven't watched it. I've been making too many podcasts. I haven't watched
it. That's fair, but you do need to get to it, Ben, because honestly, you say that we were the TV show of the year. I do think we had stiff competition.
Oh, I don't know. I'm not going to hear anything against maths, Thomas, I'm afraid. Look, if you don't know, we know that loads of Americans listen to this podcast. In fact, one in four people who listen to Over the Influence are in the States. I don't think they've got Married at First Sight in America.
They have got a Married at First Sight. And sorry to the Americans, but your Married at First Sight compared to ours is absolutely rubbish.
That's why I haven't seen it then, because I've watched all the Australian series. So our Aussie listeners will know exactly what Married at First Sight is. If you're like Sharon and you don't know what this TV show is, basically it gets a load of strangers kind of psychologically matched with partners, aren't they? So they look at, they interview you extensively.
Absolutely.
They find out about your kind of psychological makeup. Mm-hmm. And then, Thomas, last year you met your husband.
I did.
On your wedding day.
I did, yeah.
Which is completely and utterly nuts. And look, I think we can give a spoiler, can't we? Because the series is over.
It is.
You didn't find romantic love on Married at First Sight, but you did find love with Adrian as a friend.
Yeah.
It's like me and Shaz. Yeah, I love Shaz, but I don't want to snog her.
Yeah, so basically how I would characterise our relationship when we come out of the show is sort of like a marriage 40 years down the line. You don't want to get your leg over anymore, but, you know, you're happy to sit there and watch Coronation Street together. A companionship.
I mean, before we get into the sobriety side of it, I am a super fan, so I've got to ask, why did you put yourself forward for this thing that is absolutely, it's completely and utterly nuts, isn't it, that you meet your husband on your wedding day?
Yeah, it is completely nuts, but then also if we look across different cultures and things, it does work for people. I mean, there's a lot of people who come from cultures where arranged marriage is a thing. It works for them. I mean, if my parents picked my partner, I do dread to think who I would end up with. However, it wasn't them picking. So I went forward for it. I thought, you know, I've been on the dating apps, I've done all this, blah, blah, blah. I'm at the beginning of my 30s. Why not? I applied. I've never applied for anything before, never done any media before. And I got it and I told them what I wanted. And then I married the stranger.
This is amazing.
The other thing, I suppose, you know, the thing that's nuts about it is that you married a stranger.
Yeah.
And the first time you even saw them was when they turned around, you know, which is crazy.
It is.
But also it's nuts because this is on national TV and you're a nurse, aren't you? You're a trained nurse in terms of your background. So being catapulted to this kind of level of fame, that must have been a bit crazy.
Well, it was crazy because obviously you're going about your day and, you know, I am a very resilient person when it comes to the sort of troll aspect that comes with being plunged into the public eye because I work with mentally ill people. So it was always like, there's no name that you can call me that I haven't been called. And it's just water off a duck's back. But in terms of people coming over to you, in terms of going to the shops, in terms of all that thing, especially in Liverpool where not a lot of people are on television, I've had a really positive, wonderful response, but sometimes it is a little bit overwhelming. Yeah, so it was strange and it's been an adjustment, but truth be told, I wouldn't change it for the world.
I'm going to get in lots more questions about maths throughout this podcast recording.
Yeah.
I understand that's not why we're here.
It's an alcohol-free podcast, Ben. It's a podcast about sobriety. Okay,
should we
bring it back to the topic? Or, I mean, by all means, carry on, love.
Let's bring it back to the 1st of January, because I was so excited when I was scrolling through Instagram, because I obviously followed you immediately, Thomas. As soon as you came on the screen, I was like, I like this fellow and he lives down the road. Gotta follow him. On the 1st of January, you posted a photo of a sober app and it said 0 days on it. And the caption was, if we fail, we can still succeed. Try, try, and try again.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about your relationship with alcohol then, Thomas, and what led you to post that on the 1st of January this year?
Well, I had previously tried to be sober post-show and succeeded for a period of time. But obviously I'm not even going to make an excuse. I went back to alcohol and it was probably to do with just social anxiety, social pressures, social butterflies and, you know, whatever the reasoning was. But I found that with alcohol for me, I can't sit and enjoy the drink. The drink is to medicate a feeling of you know, stress or anxiety or pain. And then it becomes like a crutch for you to be able to go into situations, or it becomes like an expectation that every day you're allowed that drink, or every other day you're allowed that drink, or every time you go for food, you're allowed to drink. And I thought, I can't do this, because then the next day, that whole day is consumed, and then you're having your cure, which then leads to another night, another night, another night. And, you know, in past times, I've found, whether it's just in my community or whether it's in anyone else's, once the drink starts flowing, the drugs come out. And it's not just alcohol. Sobriety is not just about alcohol. You know, there's a lot of different, you know, ways that you can go. Not so much for me anymore, but, you know, I've had an issue with taking drugs and drinking and things like that. I've had all of them issues. And I just thought, you know, start of the year, I was blacking out. I was really drunk. I was a mess. I was waking up with half my clothes hanging off. I can't remember getting home. And I think more than anything, I thought, this is ridiculous now. Because before I know it, I'd be looking back and I'd be 35 thinking, what have I done? What have I actually done with my life? Where's my money gone? Where's my, what I should be waking up every day excited about what's to come, all these opportunities. And instead, I'm rolling out of bed at 12 o'clock with breath that smells like vodka. And it's, I just think, for me, it was a toxic means to no end. And I thought, no, the nail's in the coffin. I can't just sit and enjoy a drink. I can't be that person. I'm an all or nothing. And this was all leading to nothing. Because that's what happens. It takes over your life.
I know you want to jump in, Shaz, but something that Thomas has just said is just reminding me of our episode we did right at the start of the year with Michael Brown, Don't Cross a Gay Man, on TikTok. And he was talking about how, around the same age, Thomas, because I was 32 when I decided to completely remove alcohol, he said that he was living a life that, you know, it was good enough. He'd look around and, yeah, it was good enough, but he never pushed himself. He never had that kind of confidence when he was a drinker to want more from life. Is that the same kind of feeling for you?
I think that would be when you're in a place where alcohol is your confidence, that you can't then be confident without it. So it's not so much that you are an alcoholic, but you are dependent on alcohol to give you a feeling to be able to go into certain situations. So then when that's removed, you don't know how to manage it. So you straight back to the alcohol, because that's your medicine to make you feel like you can be confident, you can be sassy, you can be funny, you can entertain. And that's what I'm all about. And although subconsciously I can do that in my own life and just go about my day and make everyone laugh and do all them things, when it comes to walking into a room of people and all eyes are on you because you've been on telly or whatever reason it might be, that glass is so accessible, isn't it? Because it is a bar.
Thomas, there's two things. First thing, I'm dead excited for you. So I'm 49, right? So I've got a few years on you. And anybody that does this, anybody that even begins to reassess their relationship with alcohol, never mind remove it, in their 30s, I think, frigging big up yourself. It's a huge thing to do, particularly as you've shared with us, you know, in the entertainment industry, it is not easy. And I can say 4.5 years sober, I know what's coming your way. And it's the stuff of dreams. It's not going to be easy. Don't get me wrong. And it's up and down, and it's a bloody eventful ride. But we've got the crystal ball because we've been there and done that, and we know that amazing things will happen. How are you finding it so far? Because the way you speak and your experiences already of sobriety, you get it. You know what's beneath that that medication of the anxiety. Being, oh, I'm loud, I'm out there, and then you know. To be doing that without alcohol, it's an absolute game changer. It's amazing about finding out who you really are. How are you finding it so far?
I think I've got a great support system. And in my family, my mother doesn't drink. She's been sober for years and years and years. And it's just because she doesn't like drink. She never like fell off the wagon or, you know, done any of them things. My dad is one of those drinkers who can have a bottle of wine and then leave it. And I was always that one who wanted to go like, and just, I don't even taste the drink. There's no, it's a waste of money because I don't enjoy the drink. It just goes down. But so far I'm finding it like, it's a bit deflating. I think at times, I think you can feel a little bit deflated and you can feel a bit like, I don't really want to be around drink, because even though I would be fine not having a drink, I sort of, because I know I can't, I want it. do you know what I want? That glass of wine. I want it. And I know that the minute I have that glass of wine, well, another one will come. Yeah. Because you broke the seal. It's like anything. If you're on a diet and you have a chocolate, you're going to eat the whole box. It's the same. It's a toxic relationship where you have to have the willpower to deprive yourself. And sometimes, you know, I've found it marginally difficult, getting a lot easier.
And it does get easier. It absolutely does get easier. Yeah. And actually, sobriety becomes much less about not drinking alcohol and much more about everything else that it opens up within your world. Sorry, Ben, you were going to jump in then.
No, you give it one thing and you gain so much more. How many times have we said that on this podcast?
Yeah.
What's the other one, Shaz? Alcohol. Giving up alcohol is the key that opens many doors. Because it really is.
Yeah,
isn't
Ben
it?
Anderson, 2022, that quote.
that opens many doors. It really is. Put the cork in it and open the door, honestly.
So you're right. Right.
And I think, I think, especially as you've just touched on there with the entertainment thing, when you're invited to these events, there's no cash exchange. The bar's free. So you can get drink as much as you want and you don't pay a thing, which makes it even more accessible. Because if you've got no money, you know, you're not going to drink because you haven't got any money to buy. But if you've got a free bar there, it's bottoms up and everyone's the same. You know, you see these celebrities that go to the opening of an envelope. Because they can get access to free alcohol that costs them nothing, which makes it even more easy.
I was going to ask something different then, but I'll come back to that. Because one of the big things about Married at First Sight, in terms of the format of the show, it's the dinner parties, isn't it? So, you know, you watch these couples in their everyday lives going about kind of getting to know each other.
Yeah.
Then all the different couples come together once a week for the dinner party.
You do.
And the dinner party is explosive, isn't it? And of course, it's meant to be. Explosive, because that makes good telly.
Of course.
But you kind of, you watch and you can see people getting more and more drunk in these dinner parties.
Yeah.
Was there, and you know, don't feel like you have to answer this at all. I imagine all that was, you know, on tab, wasn't it? You're not paying for your own booze at the Married at First Sight dinner parties.
Believe it or not, no, it wasn't. But we were also filming sometimes for 15 hours a day. And
what?
Yeah, that dinner party would be filmed over a 15-hour period of time.
No wonder everyone looked knackered. Really?
So when you imagine yourself being tired when you did drink, and then you drink, and you're into late hours in the evening, early hours in the morning, and you're tired, you've been drinking, no matter how much alcohol you have, it's going to have some sort of detrimental, you know, impact on your being in that moment, because you've been up from the morning getting ready, being filmed, getting ready, then you're waiting around, then you go, then you're in a holding area, then you go and film the mixer, then you come back out and go in the holding area again, then you go back into the dinner party and you're drinking, and the alcohol is not on tap, it's limited, but
okay,
when you get that wine, you pour that glass right to the top, because you don't know when the next bottle's coming, and everybody on that table was guilty of that. We all done it. And it's stressful. So you're stressed, you're tired, you've got a big pint of wine in front of you. It can really, everyone was drunk. Everyone felt drunk.
Again, tell me to do one if you don't want to answer this question. I mean, I know before we started recording, you said that you're an open book.
I am.
You know, if your story can help one person, then that's what you're aiming to do today.
Absolutely.
On this podcast with us.
Yeah.
You said that you started kind of thinking about sobriety after the show.
I did.
Is that because you watched it back?
It was, yeah.
What was that like? Because I feel very lucky that I was never really a big Facebooker, or I'm not a big Instagrammer. I'll message people occasionally, but, you know, what was it like kind of sitting there on your sofa watching that show back, knowing that maybe alcohol did play a part in some of that story?
So at the final dinner party, when we come back for the reunion, I didn't have one drink. I was sober, which you will visibly be able to see if you watch it. I wasn't drunk at any occasion. So I'd already decided to be sober based on just coming home and having that time to reflect and think, oh, I just don't want to be that person that anyone looks at and thinks, oh, you're really trashy. And it wasn't because I necessarily cared what they thought about, but I know me and my importance and what I want out of life and the message that I want to convey. And it's certainly not that of some mouthy pisshead. And that's what I felt like. And I think watching it back, I didn't so much feel like a mouthy pisshead, but I did think, all this is focused on is me reacting and arguing, and that's not really who I am as a person.
And that's really funny alcohol in a nutshell, isn't it? Sorry, Ben, go on.
It's really funny you say that, because I remember watching that final, the reunion, with my fiance Jem, and one of our observations on that was, because I don't think trashy is the right word. I think you were quite volatile at some points in this series. And I don't know if you disagree with that.
No, accurate.
But on the final dinner party, it was almost like you were a different person. And me and Jem reflected on it. We said, like, Thomas is so calm. Like, he's so collected, and he's really, he's putting himself across really well here. And you and Adrian had a really lovely kind of resolution to your journey in Married at First Sight. And you know what? Now you said it, it doesn't surprise me that you weren't drinking.
So basically they brought in, I preemptively contacted them before I went back to London to film that, because we were obviously home for about 6 weeks, I think, and said, make sure that there's no sake. Do you know what that is?
Yeah, love absolutely.
So I drink. So they send a lot of that to me now, the no sake thing, because they reached out and obviously they've seen the sobriety things that I posted before. And I drink that if I want it, because it does make me feel like I'm having something sometimes. So if I'm really in a pickle now, I would change to no sake, because I think even though it smells like dog, it tastes really nice.
I'm not sure how much they're going to send you after this episode.
Well, it does smell like dark no sake, but it is really nice. And I do like the taste of it, but you do need to put it in the fridge, otherwise it tastes like feast as well.
Yeah, I love it. I love an Osecco. I think
I do.
Lovely.
Love an Osecco.
Really nice. Yeah, there's loads. I just want to come back to what you were saying there. So as Ben said at the beginning of the episode, Thomas, I haven't seen any of Married at First Sight, and I'm really sort of compelled to do so now. I want to find out more about you.
Please watch it. You will enjoy it. You really will.
But what you said there about watching yourself back after having had a drink.
Yeah.
When I was, you know, in my heyday, before social media, you know, you didn't have that. And then social media comes along 20 years ago, and that getting tagged, you know, on the dance floor, getting tagged, making a tit of yourself, and you're like, I'm in my 40s, I don't need to be seeing this shit. It's bad enough on social media and looking back, and bloody Facebook memories now forever. Shaz, remember this? 5, 6 years, you're like, God, no. But you've done that on national television, and I think there's a mega self-awareness there, isn't there? And I think it's really quite brave to go, nah, didn't like that, I'm going to make a change.
I think it's like holding a massive mirror up to yourself, and I say this to everyone, and you can either take from it the mirror that they're holding up to you, that you've got things that you can work on, or you can be defensive and say, oh no, it's the edit, oh no, I can't, I didn't do that, oh no. If it come out of your mouth, you said it. If you move that way, you did it. You're responsible for yourself. We all know what we signed up to. And, you know, I just think it's a cop-out to try and blame someone else for your own behaviour. You've got to look at yourself internally and go, is this working for me? No, not really. And that's what I did. And, you know, I might fall off the wagon again. I don't know. But at the moment, I'm feeling positive. I've come up with resources that work for me in terms of going to the gym, or in terms of going for a walk, or in terms of, you know, having an extra coffee. I don't know what it would be, but some things that make me feel happy. And this year is going to be my year, and I'm manifesting positivity. And I think alcohol can only bring negativity to my life at the moment.
You know, the reason I wanted to get you on, and we've only just recently started chatting on Instagram, but the reason I wanted to get you on so quickly is because you are doing, you know, you're in dry January at the moment, and the 1st of January was your day one. And I think a lot of people have found this podcast in dry January and will therefore be in the same position as you. What is your plan with this? Like, are you thinking that, you know, are you aiming to do dry January? Are you thinking 100 days? I want to do a year alcohol free. Are you thinking that this might be longer term for you?
To be honest, I would never do like dry January. And I'm not criticising anyone that does, you know, good for you. If you can achieve that, great. I'm proud of you and I'm happy for you. However, for me, I think that it is more of a long-term thing. And I think that I want to find things, because there's got to have been, there could be a time in anyone's life where alcohol is not accessible. So how do they live? What do they do? What makes them happy? Is it, you know, I don't know, going running, is it this, is it that? There's lots of other things that you miss out on by being a drunk, isn't there? Because your days are consumed by that 1 5-hour window where you've drank loads of drink and then you're destroyed for days. And you never really, that week you never really feel back to yourself. But when you've had that clean run of no drink, you sort of feel, you know, you're more lighthearted, you're more like, you can feel more aware in your head and you're just more active and more bright. And, you know, some people can consume drink and have one drink. And if you can do that, more power to you. Yeah, I can't. So for me, I don't ever foresee that I will be able to do that.
And you know what, Thomas, though, when the penny drops and when it clicks, it's not about, well, I can't do that. You're choosing not to. You know, I swear, people still look at me and they go, well, she must have had a problem. She can't have a drink. Poor Shaz. If I could do what I want. I could have a drink at any point. I now don't want to. And what you've just said there, one thing I feel so strongly about is you get your time back. So you don't waste time thinking about who you're going to be drinking with, where you're going to be doing it, how much you're going to drink, how you're going to recover, when can we start again? All this different stuff starts to come into your life and it is absolutely wonderful. You know what, Ben, a production meeting on air here.
Okay.
Thomas, I'd love Over the Influence to follow your journey and like check in with you every, I don't know, be it every month, every 6 weeks, every couple of months to see how it's going. And I think that would be
absolutely
so exciting. You know, because you've started out now on the 1st of Jan, 2023 is going to be your year. I said it before, I'm really excited for you. And
I told you that you'd love it.
I know, you were
absolutely
right.
Right up our street, Thomas.
That's great. I do appreciate that. I think it's just majorly about being self-aware and not justifying your own behaviour, isn't it? Because sometimes I think, oh, well, I was drunk, you know, it doesn't really matter, I was drunk. Yeah, but you're choosing to drink. Unless you have an illness that is alcoholism, you're still picking that drink up. So at what point do you sort of go, no, I'm a knobhead here. I've got to take responsibility for my actions.
So many people would not say that. I said, I'm sick of being a drunken dick. I'm done with it. I'm over it.
And you know what? There's no one that can go, ha, ha, ha. People will say, commend you for being vulnerable. You know, being vulnerable is not weak. Being vulnerable is very strong.
Yes.
And you know, there's so much of like, she's a drunk, you know. But when you go, no, I am a drunk actually, and what I'm not going to do is I'm not going to drink anymore. That's very vulnerable because you're exposing yourself to a lot of people who say, well, I told you, you know, you shouldn't have done that. Oh, you know, you can have one drink. It's very difficult. But if the first step is admitting and being vulnerable to yourself and saying, I'm wrong here.
Yeah.
I've got to fix this.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
You're going to get me going, Thomas.
Come on.
That's my massive thing.
Come on.
Especially talking to men, that vulnerability is strength and not weakness. But also what you've touched on there, you know, from a kind of societal point of view, you know, it makes me really cross that people who remove things like alcohol, they're pitied. You know, oh, poor you. You can't drink like
what
all
you boring.
Can drink.
Boring.
That's the
one.
Other one. Sobriety is anything but boring. And that is the response that pisses me off more. What do you do then? What do you do now you don't drink? Well, I am a really good dad. And I'm a really good fiancé to Jem. And I go and walk up mountains. And I'm pushing work forward.
The things that you want to do. And you can still do all of the things that they do without a drink in your hand. So is it not more for those people specifically? I'm not saying that people who drink are boring. But for those people who specifically think that alcohol makes you exciting in some way, are they not the ones that are born? Because if you can be exciting without alcohol, are you not just exciting?
40 years of hangovers is pretty bloody boring, to be honest.
And you know what? It's the impact it has on your skin, your hair, your weight, your eyes, everything. You just look different. You don't look healthy. You don't have that glow about you. And that's, I'm sort of talking from my own experience, binge drinking. I don't know about, you know, you use a binge drinker, see, you know, you look in the mirror and go, God, I look rough.
Yeah. My day one photograph, Thomas, I look like I've been dug up. It is the stuff of actual nightmares. And then only about, 4 weeks later, I think I did a side to side. And then the sparkle literally returns to your eyes. Never mind 4 years down the line. I want to come back to what you were saying about socialising, about being extrovert, about being fun, the party starter. Before I did this, I thought, I can't do it. I can never, ever go out again because it's going to be dull. It's going to be awful. I had all these preconceived ideas. Thomas, I've never, ever laughed as much in my life going out. You can still, it turns out you can still be a massive dick, just not a drunken one.
And a weird dick. Yeah. A dick that remembers being a dick.
Exactly that. And my friends say to me, Shaz, it's great. You know, we're so glad you've done this. You're still a dick. And I'm like, that's brilliant. Thank you. We are just going to take a quick break from this episode with Thomas. I'm absolutely loving it.
I can tell.
Thank you.
Yeah, I told
honestly,
you would.
Great guest. Great guest. I've never watched the programme and I'm thinking, oh, flipping it. Well, I've come across as a bit of a knob for not seeing the programme. But actually, that's only one part of what he does. He's got so much to talk about. Ben, he's right up our street. Great. Yeah. Great introduction. Thank you so much. Really
love it. I'm chuffed that you said yes. And the other reason I really wanted to get him on, I think on this podcast, we talk to people who are kind of, you know, they're racking up the months and years in terms of how long they've been doing this consistently for. Thomas is still, you know, a couple of weeks into this. You know, the 1st of January was that 0 days sober post that he put up on Instagram. And you were a bit nervous about that, weren't you? In terms
because
him being so early.
Like you say, I think just about every single person on the pod has probably got minimum, guest-wise, minimum, like, probably about a year's sobriety in the main. Although Del, I think when we first spoke to Del way back when, a couple of years ago, I think he was about 5-6 months in, you know, and it was just absolutely fantastic. But, yeah, Thomas is in the early days, but I think it's really important to share that fact, particularly during Dry January, when there are so many people listening to this now on exactly the same day, doing exactly the same thing. And it's great to hear how it's going. And Thomas he's just got so much good stuff to say about sobriety. It's amazing.
If you're there, if you're doing this and you're doing Dry January, and like Thomas, you're thinking you want to carry this on for a longer period of time, if you want to talk about it, then come and talk to us.
Absolutely.
Because that's exactly what the community is all about. It's about having these kind of conversations that you might have just been having internally for a really long time with yourself and not talking to anyone about it. We've now got 3 Zoom calls a day, Monday to Friday, 2 Zoom calls a day, Saturday and Sunday. So hang on, let me just go. It was my ambitious schedule, wasn't it?
19 a week.
No, it's more than that, isn't
it? Hang on, 3, 5, so 15, 17, 18, 19, 20. Yeah, yeah.
Great, there we go. And we're planning to add more. And they are 9 a.m., 1 p.m. and 7 p.m. GMT. But that means it works for, there's at least a couple of calls a day that if you're listening in Australia, which we know you are because we can see the stats. Hello, Australia.
Hello.
You can join some calls. I think the Aussies can join the morning ones. I say my, we've got them every day, but I do the morning one on a Monday, Tuesday and Friday. The Americans can join calls because we know that 1 in 4 of you listening to this podcast are in
Howdy.
The United States. That is so stereotypical, Sharon. We hope y'all are having a lovely time listening to the podcast episode with Thomas. But the Zooms that you can join as well, they are confidential and they are basically like the podcast. We just all get together and have a chat. And it's a kind of core part of so many people's OTI membership, isn't it, the Zoom calls? And we've got loads of them. And cards on the table, we were going to try this kind of doing loads of Zooms, 3 a day, Monday to Friday, 2 a day, Saturday and Sunday. We were going to try it for January and see how it landed. Well, we're going to carry it on because it's landed really, really
very,
well.
Very well. We'll call them reservations, not because of the Zoom calls, simply because of
skepticism.
Well, it's when Ben gets out his massive pad and his highlighters and his charts and all this shiz and he starts throwing it my way. This is beginning to sound like an episode of the Premium Pod, by the way, so I'm going to shut up in a sec.
We need to go.
We need to go. We do need to go. I thought, oh, crikey, these plans are ambitious. You know what? It's paying off because the members, and this is why we're doing it, the members are loving it. 3 calls a day, Monday to Friday, 2 calls on a Saturday, 2 calls on a Sunday, 15, 16, 17, 19 Zoom calls a week.
I thought we decided it was 20.
Hang on, 15, 16, 17, 8, 19. 5 threes of 15.
You're right.
Not so smart now, are you, with your flipping pad and your highlighter?
Right, Let's stop talking because Thomas is probably one of my favourite guests we've ever had on the podcast, and not just because I love Married at First Sight UK, because he's amazing.
He's
so should we get back
bloke.
And have a chat to him?
Absolutely. And if you do want any info about those Zoom calls, by the way, overtheinfluence.co.uk. We said it was brief. Once again, we lied. Let's get back to the episode.
Thomas, I'd like to go back a bit. Obviously, you know, we talked about this fabulous, shiny, glossy new TV life.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm really interested that you are, you know, is it a mental health nurse? What was the actual title?
Mental health nurse. Yeah.
So I'd like to take you back to that life just for a little bit, this conversation, mm-hmm. because we've got in our online community, we've got a doctor who's 8 years alcohol free. Only in the last couple of years has she felt confident enough to talk about her relationship with alcohol and why she decided to remove it because of the industry she's in. We've also got a mental health nurse who's just over a year alcohol free. And again, that kind of being in that environment, being in that profession, put kind of extra pressure on their shoulders to feel like they couldn't necessarily talk about their own struggles with alcohol, because, you know, especially the mental health nurse, she was talking to people about these things on a daily basis. Obviously you're drinking, you decided to stop now, and that's fabulous, but you've been drinking for a little while, and therefore you were a drinker whilst you were in that career as well.
I was a drinker while I was in that career, but the level of drinking was massively different to what it was, say, when I was a lot younger or more recently. So I would go to work, come home. There was never like picking up. I didn't drink in the house. No drinking in the house. It doesn't happen. It's not for me. But with being young and partying, there was a lot of drink, a lot of drugs. Then there would be spells of sobriety where I'd be sober for a year or I'd be sober for whatever amount of time. And then again, I went on the TV show, a massively tense environment, lots of free spare time, lots of sitting around waiting, lots of drink. And then you come out of it, sit party here, party there, do this, do that, go here, go there, alcohol on tap everywhere. So mine has been like that. I have been in and out of drinking, binge drinking, shall we say. And every single time, there's never sort of, I could count on one hand the amount of times where I wake up and I'm like, oh, I remember everything from last night, and I remember how I got home, and I remember this. It was never, ever a healthy relationship with alcohol. It was always too much, too quick, too drunk. And I could never find that balance. So the pressure from work, I never really medicated that with alcohol. It was more the pressure of life than I medicated with alcohol. The pressure of socialising, the pressure of trying to keep up appearances, the pressure of whatever we feel. And it's all very relative, because that person who did feel pressure about drinking, there's lots of functional alcoholics that worked in the hospital that I worked in. Every night they'd go home and have a drink. And I was like, what? Because I'd go home and have a glass of water. And it wasn't that, it was just that association between work and alcohol was never there. Now, the association between work and alcohol is rammed right in your face.
Have you had any difficulties in terms of Liverpool? Because, I mean, when I moved to Liverpool, I love this place. And I'm going to be here now for the rest of my life. I'm getting married. My son's a Scouser. You know, I'm here. You know, that's it. I'm done.
You're very here.
I'm very here. And I've got this kind of, I don't know. I remember coming to Liverpool for the first time because my brother went to Liverpool Uni. And I just got here and I thought, oh, God, this is my kind of place, this. I had this kind of natural, this feeling of, I'm from Birmingham, but I had this feeling of home in Liverpool.
Absolutely.
I was also very surprised when I first came to Liverpool. They really do like a drink here,
don't
they? And it is a party city.
Absolutely.
Do you think, you know, talking about going out and socialising, especially in this, you know, because I suppose Liverpool's also, it's not just all the locals going out, it's Stag Do Central, it's Hen Do Central. Like, it's known for a good time, isn't it?
It is. It's known for a good time. And I think that as well, obviously being in the LGBTQ+ community, it's another big pressure, because you're walking into a room sometimes with your straight friends, and you're the only gay person there, and there's an element of like, oh, everyone's looking at me, or I'm not like these people, and they can see that I'm different. So the drink comes out, because it's a medication again. It goes back to that, and then again, you're partying with all your gay friends, and you're having the best time, and there's loads of drinks flowing, and it's the same with straight people. It's the same with everyone. Socialising isn't this thing where you go, let's go for food, or let's go to the cinema. It's let's go for a drink. The minute the word socialising is mentioned, there's alcohol associated to it.
In Liverpool or in the LGBTQ plus community?
In both. Right? Both.
Yeah.
Both. Yeah. And it's, you know, with the gays, gays that I'm around, you know, it's 5 o'clock somewhere to 12 o'clock. So you can drink all day. Or you go to these bottomless brunches that start at 2 and it finishes at 8 and you're fucking, you could buy the time. Sorry if I'm not supposed to say that.
You can say whatever you like.
But
honestly, you are, you wank it by 8 o'clock. You know, then it's, you know, sober up, here is this, have this. And it's just toxic. It's very, Liverpool as well. And I would, you know, not everyone, and I won't say that, but there's a lot of drugs. There's a lot of cocaine. There's a lot of champagne lifestyle on a lemonade budget. There's a lot of, like, you know, I go out to the corner for a drink when I was having a line. That sort of thing. There's a lot of that. And I think that's probably a collective over everywhere. But it's very visible in Liverpool. That's what I will say. It's very visible. It's very, I've got a new T-shirt and new trainees and I'm looking glamorous and I'm going out and I'm going to do this and I'm out for 3 days. And, you know, all that sort of bingey mentality. I think a lot of people go about their life and think that that's just acceptable because that's all we've ever known. So, yeah. Liverpool and the community, it's all about the party.
And do you know what, though, Thomas? There'll be people listening to this and there'll be people watching you going, crikey, there's another way, actually. You know, and that person in the LGBTQ plus community, that person in Liverpool, that young fella, that young woman, whoever it might be, are going, shit, Thomas is doing it. This is really good. And this is why our podcast exists, because, you know, we don't give balls about shouting about sobriety. It's okay to be sober. It's okay to take a break from alcohol. It's okay to do it a little bit differently, because you do start to, yeah, I suppose, relearn how to socialise in different ways that's not alcohol. I mean, Chris, me and Ben last year, beginning of September, we looked a right pair of dicks in our wetsuits on paddleboards on this lake in Snowdon. And we're like, who even are we now?
Yeah, but that gives you still that euphoric serotonin feeling that alcohol might give someone else. You know, that you're finding ways to feed your excitement. You're finding ways that make you feel that, whether it's same or similar feeling to what you would have felt when you were really drunk and losing your inhibitions and partying. And then the next day, you're not waking up and feeling like shit.
No.
So it's only good.
We went up a mountain the next day.
Exactly. And you couldn't have done that after a bottle of wine and ice. You couldn't then.
No, not in a million years.
And that's it. That's it. I think it's, you can shout about sobriety because the people that are going to listen have either thought about sobriety or are thinking about sobriety. And you know what? There's no shame in being sober. There's no shame in trying to live differently. There's no shame in falling off the wagon 80 times and getting back on. It's about how, you know, you find the resource and go and listen to it or go and talk about it or go to AA or go and share whatever you want to share. And I think more than a podcast, this is a resource, because somebody might be feeling like a drink and listen to this and think, you know what, no, I'm fine. This has empowered me. I feel better. I'm going to carry on. So, you know, that's why I wanted to come on here, because I want someone who is struggling to listen to it and go, no, I can do this. And it gives you that extra boost.
We're delighted that you have, because the aim for us, I suppose, is that we want to get so many different people on this podcast. Yeah. And if someone just finds it for the first time, they can scroll through and we've got over 100 episodes now, all different stories, all different people. I think when you remove alcohol, especially in a city like Liverpool, where drinking is, it's a big part of the culture.
Yeah.
You can feel quite lonely and you can feel quite isolated and, you know, a bit weird and potentially a bit ostracized. Mm-hmm. And I think that the point of this podcast is that we want people to feel like they're not alone. You know, other people have decided, actually, booze doesn't serve me anymore. I just don't want it in my, I don't want the hangovers. I don't want it in my life anymore. And even, like, for example, when it comes to the Quitlet books, like, for some reason, I really like chick Quitlet, we call it on this podcast. It's female written Quitlet. It's these women in their 40s, and I'm a man in my 30s, but I really relate to these stories. And I think
and
that's
what is wrong with that?
Well, yeah.
Power to the pussy.
Yeah. Amen, brother.
You know, it's, but it, you know, I think your story, there's so many relatable parts to it. And I think that that's what I love about this podcast, is that it doesn't matter where you're from, what communities you're a part of, what your background is. when you decide to remove alcohol, a lot of our reasons are the same. And I love what you said earlier on, is that you want 2023 to be your year. So go on, Thomas, what have you got planned? What do you want to achieve this year?
Well, I've got two massive podcasts, and obviously I told you about them before. Well, I haven't told you about the other one, but I'll tell you off camera. But the other one that I told you about before, I mean, I manifested this yesterday. Literally
yesterday. Can we say what it is or not? Can we say what it is, or we've got to keep it?
Well, it's GK Barry. It's GK Barry's podcast, Saving Grace. And I said to my friend yesterday, all I want this year, it will make my year, is to be on Saving Grace. That's it. I just want to be on GK Barry's podcast. That would make my whole year. And guess what? Today, hi, Mr. Hartley. This is GK Barry. Would you like to come on my podcast? Debatious in the woods.
That is crackers.
Absolutely. So I'm ecstatic, and it's just such a big thing for me. And it'll open so many doors. And I just think, imagine if I had to miss that message because I'd had a drink. You know, imagine I was still drinking and I turned up late and made a fool of myself on camera. You know, I just think all of these things, I'm putting an extra obstacle in my way by drinking. And I don't want to put obstacles in my way. I want to walk clear along the road and know exactly where I'm going. And, you know, I've just been signed by an Australian agent because they have Maths UK in Australia. I've got a lot of fans in Holland. We're looking for a Dutch agent. I've got two TV shows in the pipeline, which I definitely can't talk about. And it's just like, I don't want to be drunk. I don't want to be drunk. And I want to give a true account of myself and the things that matter to me. And when you have alcohol, all that matters is the next drink.
You've got, well, one, no time to be drinking because you are far too flipping busy. But what I say, Thomas, is when you remove alcohol, that something good happens in every single day that you don't drink. And it might be something teeny weeny weeny. For me, it's sometimes just seeing a bird on my bird feeder that I treated myself to. And I go, oh, that's beautiful. Other days, it's a new job offer. It can be something big. It can be manifesting you appearing on the GK Barry podcast, which is amazing. Every day you do not drink, something amazing happens. And I said it before, I said it at the start of this pod, I'm genuinely excited for you for 2023 doing this in your 30s. The world, it's about to explode.
Well, you know what, I think you've just hit the nail on the head there by saying, if you keep in mind that, you know, something good, whether it's small, big or relative to you, happens every day without the drink, I think anyone who is listening, if you just remember that, you know, the world's your oyster, as you say, and that's whether you're in your 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s or otherwise. You can always reclaim that time. And who knows, by giving up alcohol, you could be adding years onto your life that you would have lost by drinking. So,
Thomas, it's been so great to talk to you. Thank you so much for your time tonight. The only final thing that I want to say is I am, like Sharon, really excited for you. No journey is linear. You know, there are ups and downs, good days and there's bad days. Just know that, you know, me and Shaz, our inboxes are open.
We're here if
you
for
do
you.
Want a private message.
You've been lovely and you have reached out to me. Sorry to interrupt you. You have reached out to me and you've been very kind and very supportive. And it was very, you didn't necessarily have to do that. And it's nice to know that other people who are in the 30s, 40s, 50s, men, women, all from different backgrounds, are, you know, going through the same thing and are taking on this journey. And you know what? If I come back on in 2 months and I've had a drink, I will tell you I've had a drink. Because I think that by lying, you're not allowing it to play out as it should. And I'm not a liar, as you well know.
Bang, liar. Yes, do right. And Sharon will be finding out soon. But no, I think, Thomas, just to say, like, you know, I know that you are a very open person. You're a very honest person. And I think that's one of the things I like most about you. You know, just when you're doing this publicly, and I'm delighted, you know, you've got so many followers on social media and you're telling them about your sobriety journey. And that's amazing because you never know who's watching. You never know who's going to go, oh my God, I'm going to give that because Thomas is doing it. At the same time, you know, that can bring its own pressures, I think. And just know that me and Shaz are here. You know, you're following me on Instagram. You're following over the influence on Instagram.
I am.
If you do feel like it, you know, you can just drop us a message. I think that one of the big messages that we talk about here is, like you said earlier on, vulnerability. Just getting it out of your head and telling someone else. Because you know what? I'm really fucking feeling it today.
Yeah.
I'm really feeling it today.
A problem shared can be a problem halved or solved, can't it? And I think sometimes we build things up in our heads to be far bigger than they are, and it takes someone else's opinion to put it into perspective. So do yourself the justice of sort of sharing it with someone else, no matter how big or small you think it is. You know, it can make it better, can't it?
Definitely.
Thomas, when Ben messaged me, I can't remember if it was last night or today, and he's like, "We're going to be chatting to Thomas on the podcast, Thomas Hartley." I'm like, "Well, it's a great name. I'm already going to love him." He said, "You will love him. He's going to be right up our street and with knobs on." It's been an absolute pleasure.
My favourite thing to have on.
We've so enjoyed it. Thank you so much
for
chatting to us. Thank you for being so honest. It's been an absolute ball. Yeah. If people want to follow you, Thomas, and find out more about what you do, where can they do that?
So you can get me on Instagram at Thomas Hartley Official, and you can get me on TikTok, which is much funnier, at Thomas Hartley Official, and I am on Twitter at Thomas Hartley A Fish, because they wouldn't let me have any more characters.
Absolutely brilliant. Fantastic. And you know what? Let's catch up in a couple of months' time, Thomas. I'm sure we'll have so much to talk about.
Yeah, I'm so excited. And, you know, vice versa, my inbox is open for you. Well, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to talk about it. And I hope if anyone is listening and they need a little boost, that I've managed to do that in some way.
That was so good. That was just such an enjoyable chat. Time flies with Thomas Hartley. You know what? I really meant it, Ben, when I said during our talk with Thomas, I want to check in with him. Maybe not every month and like us mithering, how's it going, Thomas? How's it going? A couple of months in and then a couple of months down the line, because I tell you what, he sticks with this and he cracks on. He's going to be sharing some big shiz with Over the Influence during the course of 2023. Yeah. I'm dead excited for him.
Are you going to go back and watch his series of Married at First Sight UK, Sharon? Yeah. That's the main question. Are you? I've been trying to get you to do this for bloody months. It's my favourite show.
And you know what? I really felt for him, actually, when we were talking and you brought this up and he didn't have to talk about it at all, but he said from the start, didn't he? I'm an open book. I'm dead honest. When he was talking about watching himself back on that show when he'd had a drink, it's torturous enough when Facebook memories go, "You remember what you did 6 years ago?" You know, well, no, actually, I don't remember getting home. And that's just social media, never mind national telly. And you could tell that it had really affected him. And in order, you know, to put your hand up and say, "Actually, I didn't like that. That's not me. I'm going to make a change." I just thought that was brilliant. Really, really admirable.
He is unapologetically himself.
Yeah.
And you see that in the series. You hear that from our chat that we just had. Like, he's the person that he wants to be. And I think I'm massively inspired by him. And I'm like you said right at the beginning, I'm so excited for him. I think he's a real top bloke. And I think we can now say friend of the podcast.
I was just going to say that. I do think we found a new friend. Will you be my sober friend?
Sober friend.
Sober friends.
If you would like to make some more sober friends, then of course you can join. We talked about it in the middle. We'll talk about it again at the end, just in case the middle bit didn't quite sell it for you. Join us. Join Over the Influence and you can make some sober friends, because it is a place full of fabulously wonderful people. It is buzzing with people like you, as it's my fiance Jem who says that on the advert at the beginning.
Love that.
Our community is buzzing with people like you.
She's got such a nice voice.
She's great.
See,
isn't she?
I think I'm like like this northern fishwife. Then you hear Jem going, "Oh, and this isn't just a podcast." Making it sound like a Marks and Spencer's food advert now.
This isn't any podcast.
This is just any podcast.
This is an Over the Influence podcast
for people like you.
But in all seriousness, you know, there's a lot of people in there who are going on this kind of similar journey of self-discovery. Like, it's a really open, honest, lovely, positive place to be. And if you want to connect with people who are also thinking that alcohol doesn't do them any good anymore and they want to see what life's like without it, then come and join us at overtheinfluence.co.uk. Join those Zoom calls. We've got three. Have I mentioned it, Shaz? We've got
three Zoom calls a day. Yeah, you've actually given me a headache with the new timetable. In a good way.
We've got two calls every Saturday and Sunday. Yeah, I'm taking full credit for this new timetable, by the way. Because when I told you, you were like, we're not going to be able to do that.
It's not possible, mate. It's too much.
You've been too ambitious. But all it took was a shitload of late nights and lots of stress. But
I've managed to put it together. And you know what? It's worth it.
Yeah. I have to say, though, it is our members that have made this possible, because me and Shaz aren't hosting three Zoom calls a day. Like, I've got three a week, you've got three a week, but it's our members who are stepping in and doing this, and they're people who are on this journey. You know, they're doing it. They get it. We all get it. You know, that's a great thing about this place. So look, join us on a Zoom. If you want to meet me and Shaz specifically, then you can.
Come and say hello.
Can I just give
some sort of health warning? I don't know. It's not shiny. It's not glamorous. We don't get dressed up for the Zoom calls. It's lifting the curtain on OTI, quite literally. Look like shit most days. Very tired. The content is there. Just don't expect anything glam. Because you'll not get it with OTI, and end of.
No.
Full stop.
And in fact, because Jem's gone back to work this week, all of my Zoom calls are co-hosted by baby Leo.
For that reason alone, I would sign up.
Right, we've got to go. What a fabulous episode. I think Thomas is he's our kind of guy.
Yeah.
Isn't right, it? I hope you enjoyed it as much as we did.
I think we need some sort of strap line as well that says, if you want to meet your sober friends, just go to theinfluence.co.uk, because you'll find loads in there, and it's a great laugh. Thank you for listening. We'll be right back.